Greetings and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Mullen, joined by the boss, John Rurink, Jacob Kanzler, Jack Spencer, and Mike Malott. Merry Christmas Eve to you. This is part two of our Legislators of the Year podcast that we've been doing since 2011, where we recognize lawmakers who have had an impactful, active, and effective legislative year for the year 2018, a year that was dominated by politics. But we are recognizing in this podcast our Senator of the Year and Democrat of the Year. And we have five nominees for our Senator of the Year. And John, why don't you go ahead and kick it off?
One of the things that is the hallmark of these awards is most effective and impactful. And so I'm gonna nominate Rick Jones once again, simply because I was thinking about it over the weekend. And if you think about the fact that over the course of his tenure, both in the state Senate and the state House, he will probably put through 171 public acts. And I don't think in my 22 plus years of working here and working closely in and around the legislature that I can remember a more productive or prolific lawmaker. And I suspect that you probably can go through most of the modern history of the Michigan legislature and not find somebody who has been more productive and prolific. So for that reason alone, I'm going to nominate him. I know he was received the award last year, which is probably going to handicap him in terms of getting it a second time. But I certainly think just his productivity, he still fits out that award probably better than most.
And John, you didn't mention the most important reason why you would nominate Rick Jones. And it's because
he saved Christmas.
He saves Christmas each and every year. He's doing it this year with the nativity scene in front of the Capitol. We do have a new incoming legislator, Luke Muirman from the Holland area, who is going to be saving Christmas after Rick. But it's not going to be the same because nobody can save Christmas like Rick Jones. Luke Muirman, you have big shoes to fill. We're hopeful that you can pull it off. All right, Jacob.
My nominee for Senator of the Year is Senator Mike Shirky. Here are the reasons why. Kind of like Lee Chatfield, again, buttoned up the Senate leadership race with little to no fanfare. This is very important, again, for the caucus to unify and to focus on kind of the task at hand. And so whatever he did to have to do that, that was very important. I would say, again, in terms of leading the Senate campaign efforts, what I would describe it as stayed calm and cool and kind of ensuring Republicans kept the Senate. There was a little shakiness as to whether they were going to lose a very large majority. Had some good information out in the field that helped inform their efforts. There was a little bit of an eyebrow raising when the campaign took out a cash loan, but that was all very strategic to boost their efforts late in the game and get some cash continue to flow in the dying moments of the election campaign. So Senator Shirky was part of those efforts. Legislatively, he was obviously the face behind the work requirements into Medicaid expansion. And again, like it or hate it, the point here is that he was able to get this very controversial and emotional topic to the governor's desk, which was not an automatic. He had to negotiate with the governor's office and get a solution that the governor was going to sign into law. And we are on our way to potentially getting that approved by the federal government. Senator Shirky was the big part about that. Other than that, he had five other public acts by my count, and that should include the recently signed changes into the paid sick leave bill. Again, another important controversial topic that he put his name to and was able to help shepherd through the process. With that, I will nominate Senator Mike Shirky.
You know, like him or hate him, the piece of legislation that's going through right now that has to do with shielding further those nonprofits that make what you could argue political contributions is a Mike Shirky bill. And that's moving through the process. He's very effective in that. He was also the lead in the dental therapist bill that is over in the House, cleared a House committee, and will probably be in the hopper here for possible signing, if not this year, then next. For all the reasons you said, Jacob, a quality pick here in Mike Shirky, who is no stranger to this award. I think he won it at least twice when he was over in the House. So, Mike, you're a nominee for Senator of the Year.
My nominee is going to be Senator Tom Casperson. He's been very productive looking at how much he's introduced. He's got 63 bills in. He's got 23 public acts passed this session. And he's been right at the center of important issues like the Line 5 tunnel. That was his bill that got passed to authorize the Bridge Authority to oversee that tunnel. He's also been in the middle of other important important bills that, and he represents his district very well. The tree override, tree ordinance override, can agree or disagree with that one. It's been very controversial, but he was the one who proposed the state override to that. He also had a hand in the DEQ oversight bills, got those passed. So now we're going to have a review panel to look at DEQ's administrative rules. For conservatives, there are a lot of people who feel that that's needed for the DEQ. So my pick is going to be Senator Tom Casperson.
You know, particularly if you look at lame duck, I don't know if there has been a more productive member in the legislature than Tom Casperson. You talked about all the bills that you mentioned here. He was in charge of the wetlands bill. He's also in charge of that bill about county roads and whether the logging folks can rumble down the roads, easier ways to get a permit. Whether that passes or not, he has been able to elevate his bills to get ample discussion and put into the limelight, pass, fail, get to the governor. He has had numerous pieces of legislation, including the telemedicine bill that the Right to Life has wanted and will likely get sent to the governor as well, that would permanently ban being able to get an abortion through the telemedicine practice. So again, Tom Casperson, not a stranger to this award, and has been able to pound out natural resources and transportation bills at a healthy clip, all while not being necessarily healthy himself, battling cancer all year this year. He's been able to rally from that and come back and lame duck and be extremely effective. So hats off to Tom Casperson for the work that you've been able to do despite your personal health issues. Jack, your nominee.
I'm going to take a fairly obvious one, and it's, once again, I guess I'm in the position of nominating people today that lost their elections. And I'm going to nominate Senator Margaret O'Brien, who simply, anyone who was watching the Senate this year, saw her literally everywhere. On the Nassar stuff, on school shooting, you name it, she was just very active. I don't know how many times the person that at the end of Senate sessions that the media was asking for to get quoted on their microphones, it was Margaret O'Brien. She was just steadfast. She was the go-to person on those things as far as letting the public know what was happening. And what was also interesting about her is she didn't act like, well, I know more than anybody else. She repeatedly pointed out, particularly with the Nassar stuff, that she learned more from listening to the media than she learned from anything else that was going on inside the legislature in terms of different developments that were taking place with the Nassar stuff. And I think that's pretty refreshing to have somebody, you know, not act like, oh, gee whiz, we know so much and we have all the knowledge here in the institution. So I think she was kind of, well, I just don't know how much more she could have done than she did this year on the Senate side.
And also an issue that's near and dear to my heart is the bike passing width legislation that she got through. A 3-foot passing distance for bikes. She was big on that issue as well. And we saw legislation pass on that. So,
well, it's also near and dear to your health, isn't it?
Yeah,
riding
exactly.
Your bike?
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I liked it. So Margaret O'Brien was a lead on that issue ever since that incident in Kalamazoo where the truck drove over several bicyclists. Ever since then, she's been extremely active on that issue, and we finally got some public acts signed this year on that. So Margaret O'Brien is Jack's Senator of the Year nominee. I'm going to go with the leader of the Senate, Arlen Meekhoff. And the reason I'm going to go in that direction is not necessarily because of a body of work, I suppose, for this year, but this lame duck has been the most prolific lame duck in state history. And I'm not just saying that whimsically. I mean, there's actually data out there that will show that the number of bills that have been passed so far far surpasses what we've seen in the past. This is the only time we've had 4 weeks of lame duck. It doesn't happen without a lot of pre-planning and thought ahead of time. And that speaks right to the leadership, Arlen Meekhoff, and traffic copying all these bills. Now, I know there's a lot of people who don't like all these bills, and they don't like the fact that they're coming up. But it takes somebody with some organizational skill and some forethought to put these on the table and get them in a position to pass and to bargain. I'm not convinced that all these bills are something that's going to end up passing. And some of these may actually just be bargaining chips for something else that is wanted. But again, that takes somebody behind the scenes who is crafty enough to kind of figure it out and put the pieces in place to make sure lame duck happens. And I think Arlen Meekhoff's been extremely effective on that. Even if, let's say, his policing bill didn't pass, or his marijuana rewrite that he wanted to do for Proposal 1 didn't pass, he has been effective in getting issues through the legislature and getting things and issues on the table. So for that, I'm going to go ahead and nominate Arlen Meekhoff as our Senator of the Year. All right, so we've had a healthy discussion here at MERS World Headquarters on where we're going on this, and we are going to name Margaret O'Brien our Senator of the Year. Margaret O'Brien was the lead on this Larry Nassar response legislation before it became politically popular. She was the one who took the issue by the horns and really pulled the legislature through something that has been talked about for years and years and years, and that is the retroactivity element of charging people who are in public trust positions with sexual assault for things that happened years ago. She was responsive to the victims. She brought them into the Capitol. She sat down with individual House members and introduced them to folks like Rachel Den Hollander, and really brought this issue into the forefront and made it the legislature's top issue for the good first half of the 2018 session, Jack.
Well, what would the legislature, the Republican legislature, have looked like in November if they had been viewed as being slow on the switch on this issue? What if they had been viewed as being way behind the curve on this issue? That may have been something that stuck with them and really hurt them by election time. She made darn sure everybody was up to date, as far ahead of this thing as they possibly could be. And who knows how that might have gone differently.
And she brought Democrats on board. David Kinesic was a part of this package as well. Really pulled it together and made it pretty much almost a unanimous support, even though there were some reservations about whether we want to go back into time, but did it in the whole context of what is Michigan State going to do, what's the settlement look like, are they being too reactionary, and it all kind of worked together, and she was the engineer of this train, and for that, we're going to name her the Senator of the Year for 2018. Our last nominees will be for Democrat of the Year. And folks always wonder, okay, why do you have a Democrat of the Year and you don't have a Republican of the Year? Well, it's because the Republicans are in control of the legislature and the Democrats are not. And for as long as the Democrats are in the minority, they will have their own category, Democrat of the Year. Now, when we have the Democrats take control of the House and the Senate, whenever that happens, then we will have a Republican of the Year because they will be in the minority.
We're going to have to figure out what we do in the case of a split legislature.
Maybe we'll have to change it to Minority Member of the Year or something.
Maybe.
I don't know, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. For now, it's Democrat of the Year. And we do have five nominees on this particular award. And John, you're going to go ahead and lead it off.
This year, I'm going to nominate State Senator Curtis Hertel. If you look at where the Senate Democratic Caucus is as far as the number of members they have, they're in the strongest position they've been in I believe, 16 years. And that is in no small part because of the work that Curtis Hertel did in terms of candidate recruitment, in terms of coaching and encouraging the candidates that the caucus put forward. So for bringing his caucus from, what was it, down to 11 members? All the way up to 16, right? Picking up five seats in a single election, my nominee is Senator Curtis Hertel, Democrat of East Lansing.
I don't know if you know this, John, but do you know Curtis Hertel has four public acts in 2018?
That's good.
That's really good for a minority member to have any public acts, but Curtis has four. He's also really steering the ship on the fantasy sports bill. He's been very outspoken on that and trying to get that legislation through. And you mentioned the campaign-related stuff, and the campaign stuff kind of fell on his shoulders after David Kinesic lost his primary. I mean, David Kinesic and Curtis Hertel were kind of the campaign tandem that were working. And I'm sure David Kinesic continued to work on the campaign after he lost his primary. But we got to just presume the enthusiasm just wasn't there as much.
I'm assuming his heart was not in it as much as it could have been.
And so Curtis Hertel really shouldered this campaign and was the driver of the train to get the Democrats their five additional seats. And while this is a legislator award, this is a very noteworthy accomplishment for the Senate to have picked up the number of seats that they did. And so for that recognition, we're going to go ahead and put Curtis Hertel in as a nominee for Democrat of the Year. Jacob.
I am nominating for Democrat of the Year Representative Winnie Brinks, who was elected to the Senate, and she became the first Democratic state senator from Grand Rapids since 1982, which is pretty amazing because all throughout the year, she was consistently near the top in the MERS top 10 likely to flip, signaling that she had this race pretty much in the bag for a good portion of the election cycle. And then during her time in the legislature, she was very much a vocal leader on two issues of great importance to her district, including the PFAS water contamination issue and as well as the Veterans Home. For those reasons, I'm nominating Representative Winnie Brinks for Democrat of the Year.
You know, you talk about that PFAS issue, Jacob, and she really made that issue her own during the course of the campaign. And it made it something that the media in her neck of the woods could glom onto, demanding the legislature come back to talk about PFAS. And when you look at what the legislature has done on that issue, would they have acted as fast if Winnie Brinks had not been pushing in the background? Does it rise to the level of putting $38 million in the supplemental to address PFAS response legislation? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but we do know that the media doesn't cover it and give it the attention that it gave if Winnie Brinks isn't in the background pushing it. So great nominee there. All right, Mike.
Yes, I'm going to nominate Representative Stephanie Chang. Chang is active and busy. You mentioned how many public acts Hertel had. Stephanie Chang has three public acts this year, this term. She's been in the middle of significant issues like the Nassar bills, which we've discussed quite a bit. One of the biggest issues of the year. She was right in the center of the female genital mutilation debate. She is often in the middle of environmental discussions and particularly urban environmental and environmental justice issues. Voters recognized her abilities by promoting her to the Senate this year. And I think it's worth mentioning that when in the campaign, when a particularly nasty comment came up from one of her opponents, she dealt with that calmly and with class to just get past it and not ramp up that issue. You got to give her a lot of credit for the way she handled that. And so I'm nominating Representative Stephanie Chang.
She seems to be in the middle of a lot of legislation. There's no question about that, Mike. The school safety package, she was involved in that. There was also that legal drugs. She was also involved in that legislation with Joe Bellino on outlawing whippets, that stuff that the kids apparently use. I guess going back in time, I guess they used them as well to get high. She was in charge of helping get that over the finish line. So Stephanie Chang definitely involved in a lot of different issues and quite worthy of the Democrat of the Year nomination. Jack?
Yes, I'm going to nominate Senator Rebecca Warren on this one. When you look at it from the Democratic side, all the issues she battles and has to battle in the Senate with a caucus that's been too small to hold more than two euchre games at the same time. And yet, if you watch closely what she's done, she's been able to cross over. She's had a package of bills with Senator Casperson this year, the one on the radioactive landfill disposal issue. She's been able to work with on some packages along with Rick Jones. If you watch her in committee very closely, you can see that when she has an opportunity to vote yes with the Republicans, she does. And if you are the person there who has to look for who's going to get a comment from the Democrats on issues, first, of course, is going to be Senate Minority Leader Jim Ananick first, but she has got to be the second one in terms of the different issues that she can come over and speak about. And so when you consider also what I always find interesting is she's always making the environmental argument and standing in there for these for the environmental groups. And it's interesting because she always loses in the Senate, but it's amazing how many of those issues somehow just don't make it through the House, even if they pass the Senate, and even if they do, how many of those end up getting vetoed by the governor.
You know, and the other thing about Rebecca Warren, too, I think that she's the one senator that folks are uncomfortable answering questions from because she is very poignant. She is very well studied on these issues. And so when she asks some questions, folks better be on their A game, or else you're going to look really stupid at the testimony table. And I think that that's earned her some respect among Republicans. They're willing to do some things on legislation that they might not otherwise.
When you're so often the only Democrat on the committee, you've got to really appreciate the fact that the way she acts and the way she presents her side of the arguments.
Absolutely. A good nominee for Democrat of the Year. My nominee for Democrat of the Year is Sherry Gay Dagnago, the Democrat out of Detroit. A couple things on this. She is going to be the chairman of the Detroit caucus going into the 2019-20 election, or the 2019-20 legislative session. And that's a recognition that she received because of her work on auto no-fault, among other issues. She was kind of the lead voice that said no to the Mike Duggan, Tom Leonard package, and I know that was in 2017, but the carryover continues in 2018. She has been vocal in standing up for several issues, most recent being the A through F standards. She seems to generate a lot of attention, and she is certainly one of the most outspoken members of the House Democratic Caucus on several issues. Her passion, her ability to lead on the Detroit delegation, I think earns her a nomination here for Democrat of the Year. All right, so after a lot of discussion, we are going to go ahead and award our Democrat of the Year to Curtis Hertel Jr. In Jack's great analogy, he turned a Senate Democratic caucus into a two-table euchre game to a four. From a two-table euchre game to a four table euchre game. The advances they made in that caucus were record-breaking, or in recent years, was substantial. They hadn't made those kind of gains in 30-some years. And he did it, even though he didn't have a very big returning caucus, to put it mildly. David Kinesic had lost. So it was really just Jim Ananick and himself who was returning and was able to withstand, I think, probably twice as much money on the Republican side to go ahead and win those seats in Oakland County, recruit very competitive candidates in all those districts. And for a time, it seemed like, geez, maybe the Senate has a bigger chance to flip than the House, which was kind of unbelievable to think about at the time. But maybe it was because his brother was over on the House side and they had a little friendly bet going. So there was a little bit of the competition going on.
Well,
that could have been. Well, yeah, they did bet. Yeah. He also bet me on a race, too, and lost. But I'm not going to dwell about that.
What race did he bet you on?
It was the 34th Senate District primary with Poppy Cias Hernandez. But I was able to pull out the victory on that one. Curtis Hertel, also extremely effective on the legislative side, has a great working relationship with the incoming leader, Mike Shirky, was able to get four public acts through and was a leader on the internet gaming package of legislation as well. So for that, Curtis Hertel Jr. is our Democrat of the Year. And that wraps up all our awards for the year. Want to thank all our crew here for all the research that we did. This was a very long process. We usually wrap this up in about 20 minutes, our podcast. We're on 2.5 hours. So a lot of thought goes into this, these awards that we nominate. And the reason why we do this as opposed to like put it out to the masses is so we really get to those folks who have gone above and beyond with the effort and their effectiveness in a year. And we really take it seriously because we don't see this type of recognition given by anyone else. That's why we step up and decide that we're going to recognize folks who are the most effective, have a level of impact and a level of activity that you just that kind of rose above everyone else. So thank you, everyone, for that. And because of that, I brought in some Christmas presents in honor of Christmas. Everyone has got a Christmas bag here, and that's why Lisa is joining us. Lisa, this is yours.
Thank you.
And let's see here. I've got names written on here somewhere. Mike, this is for you. And let's see here. John, this is yours. And Jack, this is yours. So I guess, Jacob, this is yours because you don't have a name on there. So go ahead. You can go ahead.
Well, are you supposed to open this on the
podcast? Yeah, you guys are opening them on the podcast. And Bridge and I and the kids went to a craft show at the Ingham County Fairgrounds, and this woman made coasters that I thought were really fun. And I thought of each of you when I got these different coasters, because they, for some reason, they reminded me of your personality. And John, because of here in MERS World Headquarters, we have stuff of old newspaper headlines. I got you coasters of the JFK assassination, which we do have here.
Appropriate, because our conference room is often referred to as the Dead Politicians Conference Room, because it's adorned with headlines from Kennedy slaying from the Lansing State Journal. We've got, G-Men and Williams' death from the Lansing State Journal. We've got Life Magazine's remembrance of Douglas MacArthur. Very appropriate.
And then, of course, Mr. Newlywed, Jacob Kanzler. I made sure to get the old married couple coasters just because I'm sure that in 40 or 50 years you guys will be like this old married couple.
Yeah, so I got a lot of marriage-related coasters, and I should know before I read these that my marriage is going very well. But the first coaster I saw said, "We never knew what happiness was until we got married. By then it was too late." So maybe someday, as Kyle's alluding to, these will be more relatable because, yeah.
So for Lisa, I just thought Lisa's blunt sense of humor and tell it like it is personality was reflective in the coasters that I got her. And I love this one the best. This is what sold me.
It says, "It isn't a bad mood, is my personality, get used to it." Yeah. I would say for not knowing me very long, you have pretty much pegged it. When I show them to my husband, he's going to laugh and say, "It's perfect."
And then,
especially the one about sarcasm.
And then, Mike, we've had some late nights where we've talked about beer, and I know that you you like to indulge sometimes.
I do occasionally enjoy a little bit of alcohol, so these coasters are in celebration of Prohibition ending in 1933. I'm just glad to have the benefit of it.
And Jack, nobody... actually, it was your coasters that got me the idea to start with. Did you open them yet?
Yes, I did. They're baseball. And Kyle and I have a long history of discussing baseball because I know baseball history so well that I actually know things that really never even happened. But yes, I mean, it's sort of, I have this obscure mind on things like that. Like this year I was rooting for the Brewers to play the Indians, so it would be the only all Great Lakes World Series that didn't involve the Cubs. And I don't think anyone else thinks like that. But Kyle is actually either receptive to it or he pretends to be receptive to it when I talk to him about it.
If it weren't for you, Jack, I would never know about Merkel Boner.
Yeah, the Merkel Boner is an important thing. It's important.
It's important news. Google it. You'll love the story.
It's one of the lessons of life.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Google it. You'll love it. But anyway, thank you, everybody, for helping with this. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the MERS Podcast. Until next week, I'm Kyle Moulton. Take care.